This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
What do you say? We head over to Amsterdam and we go and connect with Prof. Dion Foster. I'm not sure what he eats for breakfast. I'm quite curious. I don't know. I think sometimes whether you live here or go to the other side of the world, there's nothing like post-toasties or whatever. No milly meal, I wouldn't think. Morning, Dion.
Morning, Brad. Look, so we have a really wonderful South African shop in Amersfoort.
Oh, yeah?
It's called Dispense, run by some South Africans, and they sell just about everything that you can get in South Africa, except cheese snacks.
We'll send you some if you must have them.
The little things that, you know, because, like cheese snacks, for example, contain MSG, which I believe is very bad for you. But for that reason, they can't import it into the Netherlands. But you can get Matabela, you can get Millipop, you can get Mrs. Ball's Chutney, you name it, you can get it.
Dispense, huh? Sounds like a treasure trove there for you, so you don't have to miss the foods of home. Lekker.
Yeah, absolutely. Once in every couple of months, we do a little care package just to remind ourselves, once it's Suid-Afrikaans.
I like that. So you might be wondering, listening, why are the two of you now deciding to talk about food? Well, we actually also want to talk about the opposite of food. We want to touch on fasting. And it's one of those things, you know, it's obedience in certain areas is challenging enough for us, Dion. We want to follow what God would want for us, the precepts for life, and we want to bear fruit, and we want to be the kind of people who please God, and we want to love Him and love other people. And then someone wants to take our food away. Now, suddenly we're hoping it's an Old Testament thing, and the idea of fasting gets us up. And, oh, that sounds very religious. I don't think I'm into that. You know, don't touch me on my spence.
Absolutely. So, Brad, it was almost exactly that that got us onto this topic. So, the local church that we worship in and that I preach in here in Amsterdam, they know that Megan and I fast regularly for various things. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. And so I was asked to write a little piece for them in het Nederlands, because next week, of course, the 18th of February is Ash Wednesday. And for many of our listeners, certainly the Anglican and Lutheran and Methodist and Catholic sisters and brothers, they will celebrate Ash Wednesday, which is the beginning of Lent. And Lent is that period leading up to Easter. And traditionally, it's 40 days, excluding the Sundays. And in those 40 days, people often engage themselves in a kind of reflective practice, something that they can do that helps them to remember that Jesus went to the cross, that he was heading towards suffering. And so throughout the ages, that's often been associated with what Jesus did in Luke 4, because for 40 days he went into the desert and there he didn't eat. And so Christians throughout the world have seen that as one way over the centuries to in a sense, get present with their bodies.
Yeah.
Now, our story with fasting actually goes back, 20 years. So many of our listeners will know that our youngest child, our son Liam, was born very premature. He was born at 26 weeks, so just over 3 months early. He weighed a kilogram at birth.
Whoa.
And so for the first 3 months, he was in ICU, and it was really touch and go. You know, we didn't know whether he would survive or not. Today, he's a strapping, healthy, wonderful young man. So blessings to the parents out there who are facing challenges with premature babies. But Megan's dad, who's a very devout man, Brian, he said, look, he's going to fast every Friday and pray for Liam until he comes out of ICU. And so Megan and I said, well, we'll join him. I can't remember whether Megan, I don't think Megan started because she was obviously breastfeeding. But so I started fasting with them. And eventually when Liam came out of ICU 3 months later, 1.8 kilograms, we had had so much contact with the parents, the other parents in the ICU,
yes,
and heard their stories. And some had lost children. And so I continued to fast every Friday just to pray for those people, for the people who were working in the hospitals, for parents who worried about their children. And that just became a discipline. Now, just to show you that it's not a overly religious thing, because as you know, I cycle and, you know, run marathons very slowly. I found that fasting on a Friday and running a marathon on a Saturday is, you know, that's not a recipe for success. Mm. So I changed my fast to a Thursday.
Okay.
And we just, for that day, not eat anything and remain hungry. So wake up hungry, go to bed hungry that day. And every time during the day when I felt that hunger, it would remind me that, number one, my body is not the primary thing that's in control of my life, that I need to bring my spirit before God in sure. Christ. It also reminded me, as we read, in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 58, verse 6 to 7, where it says true fasting is not just about not eating. It is about justice. And so I was reminded that there were people who couldn't choose to eat or not to eat. So these kinds of things made me a little more generous, a little more attentive to the people. You know, that's one of the things I've realized over the years as a teacher. When you look at your classes sitting in front of you, you can often see, you know, students who really have had to work hard. They've had to catch four taxis to get to university. They don't have the latest laptop. But the one thing you can't see is who has eaten and who hasn't eaten on that day.
Yeah.
And that made me so attentive to people. You know, I would pray and often the Lord would invite me into generosity. Brad, last year at Lent, so a year ago exactly, the Anglican Church worldwide said, let's invite people to pray for peace in the Middle East. So Israel, Palestine, Gaza, let's pray that peace comes there. And they invited people to fast for that. So you asked earlier, what do I have for breakfast? I don't eat breakfast. So currently what I'm doing for the last year is I forego one meal a day, and most often it's breakfast. Now, there's something about that. You know, you wake up in the morning, you're hungry, people around you are eating, you go to the office, people are having a snack. It just reminds you to say, hey, there's something more important here. Put your body on the line. Pray with your body. Okay, so let me say two quick things about it, Brad. The one thing that I would say is for our listeners, fasting is not for everyone. So don't feel guilty. Don't feel it's something you have to do. But if you are being led by the Lord to either give up something or take up something for Lent this year, use it as a spiritual practice. Say to yourself in the presence of God in the Holy Spirit, I want to do this, Lord, so that I can identify with you. I can share with you on that journey to the cross, even in this tiny little way. And particularly if you're someone who perhaps is on medication or you're not entirely well, before you fast, always just check with a healthcare expert just to make sure that it's something that you can do. Mm-hmm. But I found it an incredibly generative thing for my prayer life.
Yeah, Dion, we fast as here at the radio station from time to time when our leadership calls on it, usually for a very good reason. And we went through a season of doing it every Thursday from 6 to 6. We'd have a prayer meeting at 6 a.m., which I sadly couldn't join because I'm on air. And then again, we have a prayer meeting at 6 in the evening and to sort of break the fast, as it were. But we went through a season where that was something that we were called to do. And it was very difficult for me. I can't speak for the rest of the team, but for me, it was incredibly difficult. I really was challenged by it. But the breakthroughs that you experience in your own thought life, in your prayer life, in the things that you're desiring as a family and trusting God for as a family, plus the stuff that you're trusting God for, it has this way of, I say these words very carefully, it's not like there's special power in that, but it's something happens. It's something God doesn't ignore. It's very liberating. It's quite a privilege to be part of it, as difficult as it is, certainly for me. The things that come out of it are things of great value, even if it is just learning more about yourself and finding yourself spending more time with God than you would. It's massively rewarding all around, but not easy.
Brad, absolutely. So maybe just to say, you know, your fast is not going to make God hear your prayer more clearly. God is always open to hearing your prayer. But what it is going to do is it's going to focus your prayers a little more intently and remind you to pray a little bit more. And sometimes what I found in that, exactly as you said with those breakthroughs, is it gives me that small commitment just to say, be absolutely attentive. You know, just in the moment where otherwise I wouldn't be attentive at all, suddenly God reveals something to me in the scriptures or in someone around me. And it unlocks something. But I think, Brad, also just that important thing to say, it reorders our lives. It shows us that, you know, a person should not live by bread alone, that our bodily needs are not the primary thing that we have. We need to live by faith and in the presence of God.
Yeah, it reminds me of Psalm 63. Earnestly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you in a dry and weary land. I think sometimes we think about lunchtime and we say, ooh, for lunch, my body longs for you. Maybe it's time. So maybe this is the reordering that we need, to remind us that if there's anything we should be longing for, it's to have a thirst and a hunger for God. Thanks, Dion.
Yeah.
Appreciate your
time. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks.
Well, listen, blessings and enjoy the day. And I must say, I'm hearing the birds chirping and it's becoming lighter in the mornings. The promise of spring is coming.
Hey, excited for you. Hope it's not too chilly. Look forward to catching up with you again. And thanks, as always, for your time. We love hanging out with you.
Thanks, my friend. God bless. Bye then.
That is the voice of Professor Dion Foster. He's a theologian and he's the University Research Chair at the Vrye Universiteit in Amsterdam. I need to work on my Dutch accent.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.